A scripture reading today is Matthew 25:21. His Lord saith unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. May God add his blessing to this scripture reading today.
Thank you guys for starting our service out. Before we get into it, let's have a word of prayer and invite the Holy Spirit here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I especially ask for your guidance and for the Holy Spirit to take over my actions and my words, and may this be a message that you want us to hear, and may it be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and I thank you for this little church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, happy Sabbath. Everybody have a good morning? Or was the devil trying to get in the way? Everything seemed to be pretty good today. I did get up and took care of everything, all the chores, so maybe that helped a little bit. Everything kind of flowed nicely today. So the title that I've given this message is His Joy is My Everything. And as we went through Sabbath school this morning, we started to get into the subject of joy. And let's get into it, right? Our message today, it began with the parable, with the text reading, the parable of the talents. Everybody remember this story? One, he gave five talents, one, he gave two talents, and one, he gave one talent. And as we see, those who did good with the gifts that God gave them, those that did good with those gifts, God was well pleased, right? And he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. And we're going to get into that a little bit. Well done, good and faithful servant. I hope these are words that we are longing to hear. I know personally I want to hear these words. Well done, good servant, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In the Strong's Concordance, the word joy is, it's pronounced hyro. And it's to mean to rejoice and to be glad and to rejoice exceedingly. This word hyro is used 59 times in the King James Version. And in the outline of the biblical usage, I found something very interesting, that one of the definitions of hyro, or this verb of joy, is this: of persons who are one's joy. Okay? Of persons who are one's joy. And I've got to thinking about this. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What does the joy of the Lord mean to you? And speak freely. Because as I was raised Adventist. I've been an Adventist my whole life, wayward for a little bit. But when I heard the joy of the Lord, that always seemed to me like knowing the Lord should give me joy. Is that how some of you've taken that? The knowledge of the Lord, and as Adventists, we have some light that others don't. That should be part of our joy of the Lord. Yes, Roxanne.
Peace.
Gladness. Yes, sir. What's that?
Heaven.
All right. These are all wonderful things. Now, I'm going to say this again.
Enter into the joy of the Lord. And we're gonna focus on this because it might be something that we have done wrong. We talked in Sabbath school a little bit before in corporate church. Are we ready? Are we ready for his coming? Is there things that we're doing wrong that's not bringing people in? Have we lost our first love? Right? Are we Laodicea? We think we have everything we need, but he wants to spew us out of his mouth. We're neither hot or cold. And he says, be hot or be cold. He wants you to make that choice, right? In Nehemiah 8:10, we can turn there, and I'm going to kind of take my time on some of these verses. I know I should put little bookmarks everywhere so I'm not fumbling around, but let's read Nehemiah 8:10. Amen when you're there. All right, it says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this is the day. This day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't know how to transition this, but I've got three verses here that speak about Christ's joy. And these verses that we're fixing to read, and this is what really hit me, the joy of the Lord. Who's heard that song? We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Has anyone heard that? We bow down and we worship you now, right? What does this mean? The joy of the Lord is my strength, okay? And it's hit me, okay? So Nehemiah 8:10, it talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there's things that we as Christians, as followers of the way, Jesus, we need strength, especially in the times that we're living, okay? Let's turn to John 15:11. And amen when you got it, John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, wait a minute. I thought this whole time I was talking about my own joy. The joy of knowing the Lord. The joy of the promises in his word. That's not what this is saying. And correct me if I'm wrong. This is saying, these things have I spoke unto you, that whose joy? Christ's joy can be in us. Yes, it's joyful to know the Lord, but he wants us to have his joy. What is his joy, right? We're going to get into this, okay? That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Okay, there's other things I looked about this message saying that, hopefully it's written down because it's exciting and there's a lot to go through here. Okay, so now we've got a little different view of the joy that we're speaking of. We're not no longer speaking of the joy that remains in me, but I'm accepting the joy that Christ has. We talked about the joy that he had during Sabbath school that led him to suffer and to go through the cross, right? To go through that event. It was his joy. And what was that joy that he had to be able to suffer for us? That we might inherit the kingdom that he's prepared long ago, when before sin crept in. Okay? This is a joy that God has for us. Okay. John 17, 13, a couple chapters back. 17:13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Okay? Again, we're talking about his joy being fulfilled in us. And now let's go to Hebrews 12:2. And this one we discussed in Sabbath school. Hebrews 12:2. Amen when you're there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy that was set before Christ. So much joy that he was able to endure the cross, right? Here these verses are emphasizing that Christ's joy is rooted in obedience to the Father, love for mankind, and the eternal, unshakable nature of his kingdom. Okay, these are the things that Christ's joy are rooted in. His joy, the joy that he wants us to have, right? And we're going to focus on the love for mankind. Love for mankind, for the human race, love for you, love for me. Christ's joy. Is joy a feeling we get? Right? It's an emotional thing when we're joyful. Okay? Yes.
I looked up joy and satisfaction.
Satisfaction? Yeah. And I want us to look at these things through Christ's eyes. The satisfaction that Christ has in his children. The joy that Christ has for his children. For those that believe in him, right? And call on his name for help. Thank you for that. We see in John 3:16 that this joy and this love for mankind is oriented in action. For God so loved the world, right? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever perish. I didn't skip a part, did I? Whosoever. Right. This is an action-oriented act, right? We see that divine loves in John 3:17, the following verse. You can turn there, John 3:17. Amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is action-oriented, okay? His love for us. Are we in need? Absolutely, we are in need. Can we be a good and faithful servant without the Holy Spirit or without Christ? There's no way. In some reading for this message, I read that God's love for mankind is foundational to existence. I've also read in getting ready for this that the joy of the Lord, I don't know how to say this. Well, I think it's coming up. Folly is the word that comes to mind. It's foundational to existence. It's unconditional, sacrificial love. 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18. Let's turn there. Amen. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It makes me think of Sabbath school when we were talking about how Christ spoke these things, right? How powerful our words really are. I mean, so much. No words can describe the power of a spoken word. And it's even saying here, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Okay? Rooted in our Savior's joy is his love for you and me. Let's look at, and with this love and with this joy, there is a purpose for this. There's a reason for this. Matthew 25:34. And I don't know how you guys picture this, but I know in certain times of my life when our kids were younger or something, and we, Sarah and I, got them, say, a present or something, or there's this, and you give them this, and the excitement and the joy, not as only, there's as much joy for the giver as there is the one that receives. You know what I mean? There's things that we do, we take time, like for a surprise birthday party, 50th birthday party for my folks or something. There's a lot of planning that goes on. Financial, there's some financial elements to that as well. And there's just an excitement that we are able to do this, right? And not only are we excited, but when my parents walked in and saw all those friends from years and years ago, when I was little, there were people there. The joy was there, right? The excitement and the smiles. And I don't want to lose my train of thought here. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What is he so excited to offer us? I can just see him like so excited, almost jumping up and down. Look what I've prepared ever since the foundations of this earth. I can just imagine he is so excited. This is what the joy of the Lord means to me. Jesus' excitement for his children to finally be home. Right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not a joy that comes from within myself. The joy of the Lord for the souls that he wants to save, that is my strength. How happy he is to see us fellowshipping and fellowshipping on his holy day. So many people just say, I had a discussion with a friend of mine that best friends in high school. We haven't seen each other for David, right? You met Thompson. So it's been 20 years. He called me the other day, and as soon as I was off work, I saw that text. And I called him instantly, right? It's like there hasn't been a gap at all in time. We talk about God together. He was raised Baptist. He's still Baptist. Of course, I'm Adventist, right? But the conversation's beautiful between us, right? Okay. So I can just imagine how happy Jesus is on that day when he returns. And we don't think of Jesus going through all the trials and the persecution of the cross. But deep inside, I think he was happy to do it.
When he got his focus.
Yeah. I know he said, "Lord, if this cup can be passed from me." But it was through the joy that gave him the ability to go through that, right? We read it in Hebrews. Amen. It was that joy. Christ's joy is rooted in you and me and our loved ones and those that we pray for. How can we not want to please him? And so I wrote down some little examples, and then I thought, it just doesn't even compare. Like when I owned my business, and I was happy to serve my customers because it made them happy, right? My joy, and there it doesn't really relate, right? So then I thought about husbands and wives. You know, I want to do something special for my wife so that she has joy. But then it's like, well, she's not doing something because of my joy. They just can't. This joy that Christ has is one of a kind. The joys of this earth are nothing without Christ. And we're fixing to get into that. And then I thought about, well, when we help the less fortunate, that brings us joy. It brings them joy, but it still is not the same thing. Me helping the less fortunate isn't telling them, here's the mansion, your inheritance, the kingdom of God. It just cannot even come close to comparing. Visiting the elderly, things we should be doing, right? So what are our joys rooted in? Let's turn to Proverbs 15. And by no means am I calling you this or calling myself this, but, you know, it might be relatable. Proverbs 15, 21. Amen. 15, 21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Destitute of wisdom. I looked it up. Completely lacking in knowledge. They are in need of knowledge. They are abandoned and deprived of knowledge. Folly is joy to those people. Right? And then we just, in mine, it's almost directly across Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. We talked about this morning. What are we doing wrong? Have we lost our first love? Well, when I read this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Are our children who aren't in the church pleased with us? You know, you say, well, I have to give up all my friends if I want to be an Adventist because you guys just do everything so crazy. It's just weird. You don't believe you go to heaven when you die, and there's all this stuff. But it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm not sure that our ways are pleasing the Lord. And I'm talking about myself as well. Because in my little pea brain, I'm thinking if my ways are pleasing the Lord, my children would probably want to be part of what we have going on here. If my ways are pleasing the Lord, those that hate me will be at peace with me. Are we doing something wrong? I know I am. I have little things that I do that I am ashamed of. And every day it's like, okay, I'm going to pray about it now. And then next thing I know, I'm smoking again. I'm going to pray before I walk in that gas station. Next thing I know, why do I have this in my fingers? I'm going to pray, Lord. I'm going to pray. And I just have to thank this church for not judging me for my infirmities. Because I wouldn't be here if I didn't know you guys love me. And we all deal with things. Mine just happens to stink and is disgusting, and I'm sorry. But I know the Holy Spirit will take this from me someday. Destitute, lacking knowledge. So what is the opposite of this? When we please the Lord, it adds to His joy. And those that see us in a bad light will be at peace with us. I know we talk about the lumber yard here when we go in and we have to give our account number, 666. You might think it's coincidence, but that was done for a reason. It's the Adventist Church's account, okay? So every time, and I know, Donovan, you say it, hey, it brings up an opportunity to witness, and it sure does. It sure does. Oh, your account, 666? Who's in control of all things? God is. Okay. So how can we got a few more minutes here. Let's read Hebrews. I'll try to hit all the, I'll highlight these as we go because they're all over the place. Hebrews 11:6. All right. Hebrews 11:6. Amen? Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do we want to imagine our actions putting a smile on Jesus' face? Remember, His joy for me, His joy for you is what should be our strength. Right? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He wants to give you this inheritance. He wants you. He's building you a place that is everything you've ever dreamed of. Right? So this is faith. Why we're there in Hebrews, I'll mark this one. Let's go to 13:16. Amen? Amen? But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Okay, so we talked about this, I think, during my last message about how communication is so important for us not to forget, right? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So when we talked about how at times in the fellowship hall or during potluck, we get into these worldly conversations about tractors or about vacations or about things that have nothing to do with holiness or Christ's righteousness, right? I think this is verses for us in that element, that do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And he sees that this might be difficult for us. We're sacrificing our time of talking about trucks and stuff. We're sacrificing that to talk about him, to talk about cast your cares upon each other, take each other's burdens. You know, we have a full day where we can take part of his righteousness on this day. What do you think heaven's going to be like after Christ comes? I mean, Sabbath, after Christ comes.
Imagine the choir.
The choir. Joy. Will we be able to contain ourselves? Okay. Those are the Hebrew ones, and we're looking at how we can please God and give him joy and smiles on his face. Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians. And don't get me wrong. Like, when I see Aspen playing softball, and she's up to bat, and she knocks that thing, and it hits the fence, I feel joy. Right? There are things that are joyful. Our little baby cow that follows us around the yard, you know, and watching him try to jump and hop like a baby goat. There are things on this earth that God places in front of us that can give us joy. Right? Ephesians 6. I guess I should have looked that up before I started talking. Ephesians 6, 6 and 7. Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. We've talked about this many times, I think, that how even when I'm working for Larry, I'm really working for the Lord. I want to please the Lord. And in return, I pray that Larry's happy with my work, right? We do things for the service of the Lord. Joyfully, right? Right? Except when I have to clean the toilets in the office. It's not joyful. I'm just kidding. I've never had to do that. Okay, so doing good works, and I'm tired of this whole works thing. Well, that's works. It is a result of Christ's joy in me. It's not me, just like trying to keep the law. I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Nobody can, right? Okay, so Ephesians 6 and 7, and I got Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Remember this inheritance that he's jumping up and down, ready to give us? Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 6, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, providing what is acceptable unto the Lord. Okay, so this is holy living. This is talking about how we should be living on a day-to-day basis. Okay, Ephesians. And we're still discussing how we please the Lord. We did that one. Let's go to Psalms 147. And we'll read verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Having hope in his mercy. And I believe the last message talked about his grace. Unmerited, what is it? Unmerited or undeserving, what is it when you help somebody? Grace. It's undeserved assistance. Even though it's undeserving, he is willing to take that burden, right? We don't deserve it. Grace. I thought, I just really like the idea of that. Psalms. Fear and love of God. Psalms 147:11. Did we do, we'll go back to that. Let's do Colossians, the one that's always hard for me to find. It's a little book. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Even as adults, right? Who should we honor? Christ, right? And we should obey him, right? Obedience, Colossians 3:20. And 21 is just a great advice. Don't provoke your children to anger. Because it leads into discouragement, right? Okay, Colossians 3:20. Now let's look at Colossians 1, 9 through 19. Well, let's just, I think I had... And he, let's start at 18 and 19. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So this was another emphasis on, let's see. I guess the knowledge of Christ being the head of the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. We kind of talked about that at Sabbath school too, right? Since now we can do sacrifice, Romans 12:1. And again, wow, it pops up again in my life. Romans 12:1. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sacrifice and service. Romans 14. This will be our
our final verse, and then I've got a little extra stuff. Romans 14, 17, and 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Righteousness and peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost. These are all acceptable, and I like to believe, put a smile on God's face, right? Christ's face. Because in the world that we live in, guys, we're close. I woke up this morning, I couldn't think straight. I had a terrible dream, and of course it had to do with the end times, and I just could not get focused on my sermon. I don't know if you guys are having anything, any dreams like this at night, but I think part of my upbringing, being raised in Adventist, and some of the things that were instilled in my mind as a little child plays a big part in the dreams that I have now. But I haven't had a dream like this in probably 4 or 5 years. And Christ is coming very soon, and we should be joyful about that. And the reason why we need to be joyful about it is because it's going to be worse than any other time that has ever been on this planet. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad, bad. And it's bad right now. If anyone wants to talk about my dream, we can do it during potluck or whatever, but I've had dreams like this in the past, but it was different. Okay, before I go off on that, I just want to let you know, this morning was tough. I don't like dreams like that, but if God's placing those things in my thoughts for a reason, I want to know why, and I want to... Is it the youth who dreams and prophesy, or the youth will prophesy and the older men will dream dreams? Is that correct? That hit me this morning. I'm getting old. Praise God, I'm still around. Okay, a couple things that really hit me and I want to share with you. Carry the sunshine of peace and joy with you. The servant of God must be a representative of Christ. Work joyfully, feeling that you have one by your side who can do anything. Feel that you are highly honored in being permitted to labor for God. Labor you must in faith, perseverance, and self-denial, but ever let your heart be bright with the sunshine of Christ's righteousness. Carry the joy of the Lord with you into your work. This joy is as far above all other joy as holiness is above all other excellence. Be determined that you will see Christ by faith in all his glorious perfection. Then through you, the Lord will attract souls. Who will attract souls?
The Lord.
Then through you, the Lord will attract souls who will behold him. The Son of Righteousness is to go before us. The glory of the Lord is to be our reward. Amen. And the last one, and then we'll have our closing song. What is Christ's joy? It was, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That joy was the result of his suffering, his agony, his death, that souls might be rescued from sin. That's his joy. That's supposed to be our joy, rescuing souls from sin. Okay?
Whenever there is a soul converted and brought to Jesus Christ, there is a thrill of joy circulating through heaven. A soul is saved, a precious soul snatched from Satan's grasp and given as a precious token to Jesus Christ that he has not suffered and died in vain. And then there is joy and rejoicing in heaven. The lost is found, the dead in trespasses and sins is alive, and what's this? The lost is found, the dead in trespasses and sins is alive, and Christ prays that this joy may be yours. A joy that is rich, deep, full, and abiding. A joy springing from the triumphs of the cross of Christ. Amen. Amen. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything that is in it, Lord, we come to you. We're thankful for the blessings that you provide. Lord, but I pray that we recognize what's missing. And I pray that your joy may be full in us. How happy you are to hand us a reward for our sufferings, for our persecutions, for the things that we uphold here on this earth, Lord. We're only pilgrims here passing through. You have an inheritance for us, and I know that you just can't wait with a huge smile on your face to give that to your children, Lord. And may that be our joy, that you love us so much that you paid the penalty for sin. And I know deep inside, Lord, you are happy to do that for us. And help us to see our brothers and sisters and our loved ones and our neighbors as people that you smile upon as well. You want them to be saved as well. Help us to remember that, Lord. Help us to witness in love and in joyfulness. If we are pleasing you, Lord, our enemies will be at peace with us. Help us to remember these things, Lord. Help us not to have a pointing finger or a, you can't do that. Help us to have a witness that you would be proud of, like the wall says in the back of the church. It's your method, Jesus, and your method, what is rooted in your joy, is love for us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.